Hello and welcome to Career Q&A on Careerism TV. My name is JT O'Donnell. I'm your host, and each and every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm live on careerism.com answering your career questions. Nothing's off limits. I'm your career wingman. So stop on by, check us out live, and if you can't attend, hey, you can always download us here on iTunes. If you enjoy Career Q&A here on Careerism TV, then be sure to check out our sponsor, careerhmo.com. CareerHMO.com is your cure for chronic career pain. We're helping people each and every day get the career satisfaction they want and deserve. So go on by, check out the free resources, and even ask a career question for free, and have one of our experts give you an answer that could change your future. In this episode of Career Q&A on Careerism TV, I'm going to be talking about networking, and specifically introductions and icebreakers. You know, nobody likes to network. It can be really challenging, and a lot of people have anxiety around it. But it's such an important part of your business of one and your success as a professional that we must learn ways for ourselves to get comfortable enough to network and connect with others. So sit back, grab your pen, take some notes, and learn what you can do to get more relaxed and more confident in your networking abilities. Welcome back to another episode of Career Q&A here on Careerism TV. So good to have you all here. I am going to be talking about a very interesting subject that was sent to us by one of our viewers, and the subject is how to get the conversation going when you are out networking. We're going to be discussing that today, but before I get started, let me just go through the housekeeping. First of all, this is live, so when I'm not looking at you, what am I looking at? I'm looking at all your comments over here. Do not be shy. Ask questions. That's what we're here for. The only stipulation is you got to put the word question in all caps in front of your word, your question, so that I can actually pick it out of all the chatter, okay? So don't yell at me. Don't do the whole thing in caps, because that's kind of scary. But just the word question so I can identify it. Does that sound good? Okay. And that's all we need to do today. So I just want to say that I love this particular subject. It's something that is very near and dear to my heart, because I like networking. I do. I like going out and meeting people, but that wasn't always the case. And I'm going to tell you a little story to kind of set the scene. So one of the biggest heroes, mentors in my life is my father. And I started working for him when I was 13 years old. Yes, 13 years old. And I have been going to networking events my whole life. That's not to say that I love them from day one. I used to have to go to various trade shows with him and do all those different things. And I was forced to meet people. And as a youngster, I couldn't stand it. And then as I got older and I graduated from college, he really pushed me and said, look, the way that you're going to get ahead in life is by knowing people, by connecting with people, getting to know them so that you can partner, and you really need to get out there. And so he would drag me to these Chamber of Commerce events. And he was the president of his chamber at one point in time. So then I really had to go to these events. And I hated it. There was just something about going to them. Here I was, this young person with no experience, and I was sitting there. What was I supposed to say to all these people? What possible value could I have for any of these people that had many, many more years of experience than me? And I was just dumbfounded. I couldn't speak. I couldn't spit it out. It was, I would dread it. Is this sounding familiar to anyone? We've all been there, haven't we? I mean, I'd rather go to the dentist. I'm sorry, all my dentists out there, and not have Novocaine and have my teeth pulled than go to something like that back in the day. But I paid attention, and I remember thinking, well, there's a lot of people here, and they all seem pretty excited about doing this, and he's not the only one, so there's got to be some validity to what he's proposing. There's got to be a reason. He could be right, which is so hard to say when you're young about your parents, right? But I could tell that he was probably right and that I was just missing some things. So I went to him and I said, I'm struggling. I'm really struggling to go and have these conversations. What do you want me to say to these people? I mean, why would they want to talk to me? And he said, you don't have to say really anything. He said, the secret to effective networking is to ask them questions. Let them do the talking. You just sit back and listen and smile and pay attention. And when you hear something interesting, ask another question, follow up on it, and let them talk some more. And he said, if you do that, you will make unbelievable network connections. And then you're going to feel so much more comfortable because they're going to tell you a lot about themselves and about their work. that when they finally ask about you, you're going to be able to open up and just be honest and say what you do and how you do it and trade business cards. And he said, just try it. Just go to the event, shake some people's hands and ask them a question about what they do and focus on them and watch what happens. And I will never forget that advice, because then he dragged me to an event and I tried it. And lo and behold, it worked. The less I talked and the more questions I asked, the more other people talked and they remembered me. I would go to future events and they would seek me out and want to start to hang out because I had become somebody that they could spend time with. And before you knew it, I was looking forward to going to these events because I had these relationships. And then all of a sudden, I was talking. I was suddenly comfortable. And so I remember that transition. And I think about how many people probably didn't have the dad that I had that really forced me to do this and mentored me through that process. And for many of us, we can go years in our career without having to go through what I went through to get to that comfort zone, that place where you look forward to networking, which I know is mind-blowing to you right now. If you're watching this, you came here because that's not what you think of networking. But I hope that story paints a picture for you as to why I now find it enjoyable, acceptable, and I don't get stressed out about it. That's not to say, folks, that there aren't days that I dread walking into a place where I know absolutely no one. Yes, there's a little bit of that intimidation and that insecurity, but at least I have had enough of these experiences under my belt that I know that I'm going to be able to get in there, get through it, and get to a comfortable place. And I know you can do that too. You absolutely can do that too. So what I want to do today is talk about how each and every one of you can set a game plan for yourself over the next 6 months or a year, because no one's going to become a master networker, a master conversation starter in a week. It's just not how it works. But I think all of us can set that as a professional goal and say, all right, mark your calendar. A year from now, I'm going to be able to look back and say, I've really changed as a networker. I've really built my skills. I can start conversations. That's a very doable goal. Do we agree? I think it's a very doable goal. So what we'll do today is we'll start to break down some of those roadblocks. I'm going to answer some of your questions. You're going to tell me about your biggest fears. You're going to tell me about the worst things that have ever happened to you in networking scenarios. And together, let's walk through them and see if we can't come up with some working solutions that you can put into effect as we work this game plan. Does that sound good to everyone? I hope so. Okay, so I'm going to jump over here and see who we have here today. Big shout out. I see Val and Gary, Pam, Bernadette, Deborah, Mia. Welcome, everyone, and a lot more people besides that. Super. So let's start with Mia's first question, because Mia's question is about business cards. So yes, I mentioned in my story I had a business card. It is important these days that you have a business card when you go to networking events. And if you are, say, between jobs right now, so you're not working for a company and you don't have a company business card, you should have your own business cards created. In fact, I will tell you today that most people, even if they are employed, should be considering having their own personal business cards too. We're all businesses of one. You sick of hearing that yet? If you hear enough, you hear that from me. So we're all businesses of one. And yes, you might work for an employer and your employer might give you a business card to give out when you're at events on their behalf. But you should also be going to a whole heck of a lot of events where you're there for your business, not for theirs. And in that case, you should be giving them the universal business card of you. So that should something happen down the line and you're not working for that other employer, which, hey, every job is temporary, just like the logo on this website, then you're going to want them to have that contact information that's portable. So all of us should be getting business cards. And what should we be putting on them? Well, definitely your name. And your name, the way you want people to call you. Please no full name stuffy. If that's not how you're referred to, if you go by Will, not William, then don't put William on there. Put down how you want to be known. Then all the basics. I would definitely say one phone number that you're really comfortable with. It's usually a cell. Definitely an email address. Your LinkedIn profile. Your Twitter profile, if you have one. Definitely, if you have any kind of personal website, some kind of site besides those URLs, you would add that. And, you know, if you have anything else you want to put on there, you could. But those are the main contact informations. Phone number, email address, LinkedIn, Twitter, blog of some type, you know, website of some type, all there for them to access. Now, after that, it comes down to branding. Do you want to title yourself or not? And this is something that you're going to have to decide, because if you put a title down and you change careers down the line or change your area of focus, you're going to want to change those business cards. It's totally your call. So I might suggest you not put any kind of title on the front, but what you could do is on the back side of the card, in two columns, list your 8 key skill sets, 4 in each one. So the major skill sets you're leveraging these days, and a great way to get those is to go over to your LinkedIn profile and look at your most popular skill sets that you get the most endorsements on and pick 8 from there, the skills you want to be leveraging. You could put those on the back side of the card. That way you're not labeling yourself a particular type of job, but you are giving people a sense of the skills that you have. And that would be the business card I would create for your business of one. And yes, you want to have that card because you have to be able to give it out at these events so they can remember you. So those are the basics. Make sure you got that card in your back pocket, in your purse, wherever, because you're going to want to be able to exchange those at these events. All right. Very good. What other questions do we have today about breaking the ice and conversation starters and becoming better networkers? Hey, Deborah. Deborah says, oh, worst thing to happen while trying to network. Walked up to 2 people talking to each other, saying hi, and both of them looked at me like, what? Okay, Deborah, that's awesome. See, this is why I love live, because this is the kind of stuff I want to be talking about right now. I can't tell you how many times that has happened to me as well. It just happens, right? You see 2 people, they look pretty cool. You want to go over, start the conversation, and you get the sort of, how dare you interrupt my conversation? Completely happens. Here's what you need to do. When that happens, respond, react to it. You can say, oh my goodness, I have so clearly walked in the middle of a conversation. I'm sorry. What's wrong with that? Just say that. Oh my goodness, I've so clearly walked into a conversation. I'm sorry about that. But then give them the reason why you wanted to chat with them in the first place. So maybe you knew that one of them worked for a company, or maybe you know one of them personally, or maybe you don't know them at all, but they just looked like really cool people that were sitting there in the corner. Say it. Be authentic. It's okay. I don't know where we've stopped becoming human along the lines here, but I would walk up to them, and if you get that reaction, you can say, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. I've clearly walked into a conversation here. I just wanted to walk up. You look like 2 very interesting people at this event, and I was trying to find some people to strike up a conversation with. You know, if there's a chance I can circle back with you both, is that okay? Can I, you know, my name's JT. What's your name? Okay, well, then I'm going to circle back in a bit because I really would love to get to know both of you better and learn about why you came to this event. That's all you need to say. And then you step away. You know what? They're going to realize that they were deer in headlights. And I'll tell you, when I've been honest like that, 9 times out of 10, they go, no, it's okay, because they realize that their facial expressions were a little shocked. But they might go, yes, no problem, in which case, just walk away, and you'll find eventually they'll circle back with you. And here's the thing. People know they need to be good networkers. You don't just go blow people off. And if they do, then they're bad networkers, and you don't want to know them anyways. But what you will find is that just because that moment was awkward doesn't mean the whole interaction is going to continue to be awkward and that the chances of having any kind of conversation are off the table. They're not. This is one of those networking events. We bump into people, you know? It's a little bumpy. That's all. You just had a little bump. You can fix it with a little authenticity. Once again, let me recap that for you. You get the wah face, and all you need to say is, I am so sorry. I can clearly see I walked in on a deep conversation. That wasn't my intent. I just came over because I saw the 2 of you and you looked really interesting, and I'm just trying to get to know some people here and was curious as to what brought you to the event today. My name's JT. I'm going to step away, but I really would love to meet each one of you. Maybe when you're wrapping up your conversation, I can circle back around or come find me. Something like that. What you'll find is they'll either bring you right into the conversation or they absolutely will come back and find you later. But kill them with kindness. Put a smile on, be authentic, and you'll see. Okay, don't act deer in headlights, don't get afraid. Just call it for what it is and move on, okay? All right, great question, Deborah. Hey, Ruth. Ruth says, I was introduced by a brother of a high school friend to an amazing high-level corporate executive in an organization that I would just die to work for. She met with me for an hour a couple of months ago. I tried to stay in touch with her via email, but the last note I sent, she did not respond. What excuse can I come up with to interact with this person? It is frustrating. Ah, okay. So I love this question as well, Ruth. Good job today. People are bringing it. So folks, when we're trying to get to know somebody and we have this feeling that they're maybe a lot higher up than us, which is sort of the impression that I'm taking from Ruth's situation today, that it's a very high-powered individual. Ruth, you're putting this person up on a pedestal. And the problem with that is that perhaps in your interactions, maybe in your meeting time, you sort of stress that. And I'm not, don't mean to put words in your mouth, but I'm going to guess here that maybe in this interview, you were very appreciative and I can't believe you're willing to meet with me and thank you so much for your time and you've been so helpful and I've learned so much, which is great. You should be grateful. But when we do that, what have we made clear here? What we've made clear in this networking dynamic is that they're up here and they've just given you a whole bunch of stuff and you're down here and you haven't given them anything in return. Now, this is a busy executive with not a lot of time, and they gave you a full hour of their time. So what has to happen here? And I could throw this out to the audience, and I think you know the answer. This is a great example of what we would call networking inequities. Networking inequities, the fancy term for somebody's given more than the other. So how are we going to balance this out? What are we going to do? The solution, and I'm sure if I look over here, I will see it from all of you, is that Ruth needs to start giving back to this individual. Now, Ruth is going, what do I have to give? Give me a break, JT. You have a lot to give, Ruth. You see, you have the ability to get onto the internet and curate some crazy great content. Do you know what curating content is? That is when you read articles and you find them very interesting and very insightful and they're relative to a person's particular industry or problem they're solving or area of focus. Now, if you were paying attention, and I'm sure you were in those meeting that meeting with that individual, you know what they're about, what their pain points are, what they're working on, why they got where they are. You should be able to curate content, find very interesting, powerful articles that you think this person might be interested in reading. Let me tell you why you do that. Busy executive, not a whole lot of time to read. So when somebody recommends an article and sends it across their desk and they open it up and lo and behold, it's a very interesting article that kind of helps them with their thinking, what do they remember? They remember who sent them the article. So what I think you should start doing, Ruth, is curating some content, and when you find something really good, email it off to the person and say, just saw this article, thought of you, would be the headline. Hey, I saw this article, and it made me think about our time we spent together, the conversation that we had. I think you'll find it really interesting if you haven't seen it already. Take care, Ruth. Not asking for anything back, just sending something along. A month later, put it in your tickler file. A month later, do it again, Ruth. Do it again. I'd like to see you do it three times. Three times. That's probably going to take you 3 months, right? And you might think, oh, that's too long, JT. But if you really want a relationship with this person, you have to earn it. Do you know how many people are probably dying for a relationship with that person? A lot. And you need to show that you've got patience, that you're willing to stick around, and more importantly, that you're willing to contribute back, that you see this individual as a peer, an accomplished one, no doubt, but a peer. And if you do that, if you start sending content, this is how you will form a relationship with that person. And eventually, after three times of forming content, you will be able to email a question. Hey, I'd love to get your perspective on this. I just read this article, and this is what I think. I'd love to get your perspective. Now you could send an article and ask for feedback, and this is how the two of you will start to dialogue. But this person needs to see you for the intelligent professional that you are. And the most brilliant way to do that in networking is to curate content and ship it to them. Okay? So go get them, Ruth, and then let me know how it goes. All right. Celine, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. How do you get people to take you seriously networking when they find out they're between jobs? It's a reality. Attitudes change when people find out. Okay, great question, because obviously for many of you, if you're between jobs right now, that conversation starter thing is unnerving because you are dreading the old question, what do you do? The moment that happens, you feel yourself go, just like that. Get that? Should I do that again on camera? A little. So the problem is that you're defining yourself by the work you're doing in the moment. That's your mistake right there. You are not defined by the job you are currently holding. You are defined by the professional that you are through the years that you have worked. You have skills and abilities that nobody can take away from you. That's who you are. So when they say, what do? You don't answer with a noun. You don't say, I'm an account manager. You don't say, I work for XYZ Corp as a business specialist, especially if you don't have a job right now. When they say, what do? You tell them about the problems you solve, the pain you alleviate for employers. You talk about that. So you might open up with, well, for the last 10 years, I've been focused on helping companies improve revenue streams. I do this by creating new products and designing the marketing materials to help, you know, deliver those to the salespeople. I'm just kind of spitballing here. Now, I'm really focused on looking for an opportunity where I can leverage those skills in a new services industry. So you just kind of smooth into, this is who I am, this is the problem I solve, this is how I solve it, and this is what I want to do next. That's all you need to say. That's all you need to say, okay? By starting that conversation with your successes, your problem-solving abilities, the pain relief that you provide, and giving examples, you're reminding them that you are a successful professional. And then you can transition to, this is what I'm looking to do next. Because that's going to remind them that if you're between jobs, it doesn't mean you're any less of a professional. It's on you though, Celine, and everyone else. It's on you to make that impression. What you choose to share in a networking event defines you. What you choose not to share defines you. So when you hear those questions, you need to hear them in a different way. You need to think about what you could say in that moment that will shape their reaction or their response. Because if they say to you, oh, and what do you do? And your answer is, well, I'm between jobs right now. That's the first thing you want to tell them about yourself? Heck no. That's the last thing we want to tell them, because that's not who you are. So that's a great example of why we need to focus on that in networking, okay? Tell them who you are as a professional. They don't need to know that you're between jobs. And the way I just outlined it should be a very nice way for you to express that. All right. Oh, I see a quick question here about font size on business cards. It should never be smaller than 10-point font. Try not to go any smaller than that. Otherwise, everyone's squinting to see your business card. Bernadette says, I feel uneasy when I network with a group of employed people. How can I improve this? Okay, so folks, if we go to an event, let's again talk about networking conversation starters. Remember the amazing life lesson that my father taught me. If you're in a room full of employed people, let them talk. You don't need to be doing the talking. Be an amazing listener. What do they say? We have one mouth, two ears for a reason. So what I would do is go around the group and say, tell me about yourself. And here's what I want you to do. Don't just focus on their job, because remember, whatever you ask someone is historically what they're going to ask you back. Remember what I said, what we put out there is what we're going to be perceived as. So if we know that, we can get a little smart here. We can get strategic in our questions. I might go up to a group of people and say, tell me a little bit about your work at XYZ company. What do you love to do there? What's your favorite part of your job? So let's always have people talk about their positives. Then once they get through that, you can say, that's fantastic. Now tell me a little bit about you. What do you love to do in your free time? What's your favorite thing to do when you're not at work? Ask that. Get to know somebody. Ask them that personal question. What's your favorite thing to do when you don't have to work? And then let's see what you get for information, because then what's going to happen is they're going to tell you something really neat that you can probably latch on to and have a conversation around that. I'm a little bit more, and it's probably because I've been doing this so long. Remember, the more you do this, it's sort of like a bike. You get your training wheels off. Next thing you know, you're going with no hands. You're doing flips, that sort of thing when it comes to networking. I've gotten to a point that I'm so comfortable with networking that I'll sit down with somebody and say, okay, tell me about what your work. Tell me a little bit about what problems you love to solve. You know, how are you the pain reliever for your company? Tell me. I'll ask those questions because I'm comfortable doing that. But that's my personality. You have to find your way to ask that. Then I'll say, you know, what do you love to do? What's your favorite hobby when you're not working? And another question I love to ask people is, what's the most interesting thing that happened to you this year? I love that question because it stumps people. But usually if there's something special that happened, they want to tell you. I'll say, what's the most interesting, most exciting thing that happened to you this year? And it really disrupts them. They have to think about it and share. And it takes the conversation in a whole new direction. So if you, you know, get off your training wheels and really get into this, you can ask some really cool questions that get the conversation going in such an interesting direction that all of a sudden, by default, you become more interesting. Because if you were smart enough to ask those questions, you're a pretty darn interesting person. Then when they come back to you, they're going to ask you, what do you do? Well, you know what? This is the problem I love to solve. This is the pain I love to alleviate. This is what I'm looking to do next with it. You don't need to directly address that you're not working. If they flat out say, who do you work for right now? You can say, I'm actually between jobs, and move on. Then talk about all those other things. The most interesting thing that happened to you, the most exciting thing that happened to you. Have those dialogues. Be a richer person. Talk about more diverse things than just the job, so that by default, you'll get to talk about yourself beyond the scope of just the job. Very important that we start to think about that as we go to these events. And if you do that and you go around and you talk to all these individuals and you ask them questions and let them do the talking, don't forget, they're going to remember you by default as being an excellent listener. And the next time they're at an event, who do they want to hang out with? The good listener. So you're going to build upon that each and every time that you go. All right. Hi, Gary in Suffolk. I'm self-employed as an LLC. I don't want to limit my options to be employed again, given the right opportunity. How do I play this? Well, Gary, that's a great question. When you're out there, here's the thing. Whether you're an LLC, I'm just going to go back to what I always tell people that we seem to not really think about, that we're all businesses of one. Folks, until the day I retire, the only way to describe it, which will be a long time, because I'm on a mission to change the way the entire world looks at career, okay? So that's a pretty aggressive mission. I will be doing this for a long time. But if I can ingrain anything into everyone is that we are businesses of one. You don't work for an employer anymore. So whether you're an LLC, Gary, or you're actually a full-time employee, you're not really an employee. You're still a business of one at the core who is selling services. It's just how your customer chooses to pay you for those services or negotiate that service contract varies, just like any business. Businesses will have different service contracts with different companies. So at some points in your career, you might have a service contract that involves you being an independent contractor, a business, and they're just hiring your service straight out, no benefits, nothing. And sometimes they might prefer that their service contract be the kind where you're full-time employed and on benefits on payroll because that works better for them. This is a relationship that you build with your customer. So there's no harm in you just focusing on the problems that you solve, the pain that you alleviate, the services that you provide. You don't have to say that I'm going to be an LLC, that I'm going to be in business for myself. You can keep your options open. Focus on the main thing, which is I want to serve customers and this is how I want to serve them. This is the value I bring to them. Allow the negotiation of what that service contract looks like, come down to it later. Don't bring that into the equation. And we can even stress that. I mean, I need to get more people like all of you out there saying, you know, I've come to realize I'm a business of one. And sometimes employers are going to want to hire me directly and sometimes they're going to want me to be an independent contractor and I'm comfortable with both. So I'm really open to it because what it comes down to is they need my services. How they want to package that up, I think I leave it to the employer as part of our business arrangement. That's it. That's all you need to do. Okay. Hey, Caitlin. Caitlin says, I am connected to two senior managers at a large company I want to work for. One of them might be my manager for this senior engineering position. I've not spoken to them since we worked together in 2007. Okay, so we're looking at 6 years ago. In fact, one of them was then my third level manager. What's a good way to quickly to come up to speed on this? Okay, so this is one of those networking from the past scenarios. And I know a lot of people, what's the icebreaker there? How do I go back and reach out to somebody who I want to work for when I haven't talked to them in 6 years? And I have to ask you all, what's the concern there? The concern is that you're going to look really self-centered. Well, you haven't talked to me in 6 years and now suddenly you're reaching out to me because you want a job? How dare you? That's what's going through your head, right? That's what you're all thinking. But that whole thinking is flawed. And let me tell you why it's flawed. Because we're looking at these business relationships like personal relationships. And you shouldn't look at these business relationships that way. They're not the same thing exactly. So if we had a friend who we literally hadn't talked to in 6 years, but we called the friend out of the blue because we needed a favor, yes, we might feel a little uncomfortable there because we're asking that friend for something. But that's not what's happening here. You have a service and you are realizing a customer you used to serve, who you've been out of touch with, may need that service again. And if they do and they buy the service from you, you are going to provide something wonderful and valuable to them. So there is nothing wrong with going back to somebody from 6 years ago and saying, "Hey, I can't believe it's been 6 years since we've connected. I wanted to reach out to you. I see that you're working at XYZ and that you might have a need for ABC. That's exactly what I've been working on in the last 6 years. I was wondering, could we just have a conversation? I'd love to catch up, find out what you're looking for, see if I might be a fit, and if nothing else, reconnect our relationship since we're in the same space. It seems silly not to get in contact again." That's what you need to do. It is not the same thing as reaching out to a friend from way back when. It is entirely different. Remember, they need something and you have something, and this could be a business relationship. You need to pick up the phone, send the email, do whatever it takes, and just say, "I can't believe it's been 6 years. And hey, I see you have this need. And by the way, that's what I've been doing. Can we have a conversation? I may or may not be of service. I'm not sure, but I'd at least love to reconnect with you and see if I could be." That's all you need to do. Okay? Excellent. All right. Let's see. What else do we have here? Good questions today, everyone. Just to recap, today we're talking about icebreakers, networking, connection. How do we get over that anxiety? How can we say things, do things that are going to allow us to feel more confident in our networking abilities? Networking is a skill you absolutely must develop, folks. It's never going to go away. You are a business of one from here on out for the rest of your career. And your network is your net worth. So we have got to work through those anxieties. And we can, if we commit to getting better at this over the course of a year, and we really work to build our skill sets, we will be better at this. I'm telling you. You can, but you got to commit to it, and you got to do things like this. Come to sessions like this and ask your questions so we can give you some answers. All right, let's come back and see what else we have here. Hey, CB. CB says, "I want to learn about someone's boss who is the hiring manager, for a role I'm interested in. How do you get her to give you some insights on this person?" Okay, so the first thing that I would do is reach out to the individual and say, "I was hoping I could exchange some information with you. I was hoping I could get some advice, and in exchange, I'll give you an IOU. I definitely will have an IOU. Could you help me out with something? And I promise I will repay you." Let's call it for what it is, but let's offer something in exchange. Because to just call up and say, "Can you help me? Would you mind giving me some information?" Remember that whole one-sided thing? So tell them, "Look, I may not have anything to give you right now other than a big old IOU, but I really will be indebted and want to repay the favor if you'll help me with something." So let's set the expectation. This is a business partnership with one of your networking contacts. That's all it is. Then say, "Obviously, you've had incredible success. You're working at this company. You're working for so-and-so. I want your perspective, your insights and advice on what you think it's going to take to stand out and really impress this individual, this hiring manager. Would you be willing to give me your advice, your tips, your experiences? Because again, you're so successful, you're there. And I aspire to that, but I'd love to hear about it from you in your own words." And that's all you're doing. And once you say that, once you say, "I want your advice, your counsel, your guidance, because you've been successful and you're there at that company, can you give me your perspective of how to stand out with this individual?" They're going to be willing to give you that advice. And that's going to allow you to ask more specific questions about that hiring manager. But you got to start this conversation with, I'm going to have to deliver a big old IOU. And maybe there's something I can help you with now, but if not, I'm telling you, I'm putting it on the books that I owe you. I was hoping you could help me with this. And again, allow them to give you their perspective. Ask for their advice and their perspective of how they got where they are with this individual. And that will allow you to drive that conversation, okay? Excellent. Okay, I see a question from Lasha. Hi, Lasha. That's a very cool name. What's the best way to follow up successfully after a networking event? Ah, okay. So here's my strategy with networking events. Y'all ready? First thing you want to do is go back with your nice little list of business cards. Got your neat little stack there, okay? And what I want you to do is put them, if you have a contact management spreadsheet, great. If you're using LinkedIn's contact form, maybe you want to use that. Or if you're really simple like myself, what I generally do is I set up when I want to reach out to them. So
if I want to reach out to them in a week, then I'll make a little calendar note that I'm going to reach out to this person in a week, and I put all their contact information in that little reminder in my Google document, in my Google calendar. And I will write what I remember about them, what their background is, who they are, and any contact information I have. And I'll put that right there. And then I'll follow up with them in that week. Maybe you've decided you want to go back and follow up with everybody the same week. Maybe you want to do that. You should follow up within at least 1 week. Don't let it linger too long. Some people don't want to follow up the very next day or the same day. They feel like that's too eager. That's your call. I love following up, so I don't have an issue with that. But you have to do what you feel comfortable with. But I will tell you, don't let it go longer than a week. At that point, you're off the radar screen. So somewhere in that first week, you're going to make a notation about this person. You're going to write your notes, put it in your calendar, and you're going to send them an email. Maybe it's a request to connect on LinkedIn. Make sure you personalize the request. Hey, we met at the so-and-so event. We'd love to connect with you here on LinkedIn. Maybe that's what you want to do as the first step. Or maybe you have their email address on the business card and you want to start it that way. Then you would send an email. I just wanted to follow up. It was really nice meeting you. I enjoyed talking to you about X, Y, and Z. Would love to stay in touch with you. And maybe you want to ask them in the email, can I send you a LinkedIn request and let's connect by LinkedIn? I do think it's extremely valuable whether you want to go directly to LinkedIn. Somebody like myself at this point has everything in LinkedIn. It's so much easier. But maybe you want to go by email and do a two-step process. That's totally your call. Either way, your goal should be within that week to follow up and thank them, but to ask for that request to connect because you want them in your LinkedIn connection network. Think about what that opens up for you. So always drive that as your first follow-up goal after an event. Now, once you've done that, once you've had that follow-up goal, I want you to calculate out about a month out, 1 month out, and I want you to put in your calendar a reminder that you're going to send them another email. So go note that for everybody that you met. And 1 month out, when that day pops up, you are going to send them a piece of content. You're going to send them an article. You're going to curate some content. Find something you know they would find interesting based on the conversation you had with them. And you're going to send them that email and say, hey, saw this article, thought of you in our conversation last month at the XYZ event. Hope you're doing well. Would love to see what you think of it. Or, ask a question. Give them your two thoughts on the article and see what they think. But most importantly, you're going to send an article along to show them that you were thinking of them and give them an idea of the kind of content that you're focused on that you're reading. And this is going to help you establish a relationship, a little reminder. Now, somewhere between now and the month, you might come across an amazing article. You might see something on LinkedIn that's so brilliant. Send it to them. Don't wait the month. Go find their location, their information in your file and send it to them then. And then readjust it for a month later. And this is how we can start to develop relationships. What will happen is this structure of following up, if done right, will lead to being unstructured. All of a sudden, you two will start trading emails, connecting, and networking, and it won't be this formal process that you have to keep reminding yourself to email this person every month. But for those first couple of sessions, you may need to do that to get that relationship going. So let's recap here. Within 1 week, send them a thank you follow-up, preferably a LinkedIn request. No matter what, try to get them to connect with you on LinkedIn. Then set about a month later, a little tickler in your calendar to email them an article of interest and personalize it and share it with them. Do it again another month after that. By then, if you're doing this properly, the two of you have probably built a dialogue. It'll be less regimented, but you may want to keep reminding yourself. And that's how you're going to be able to develop a rapport with this individual. Okay? All right. Let's see. Another question here. How do I find the networking events in my area without relying on a specific job title event like networking for IT marketing professionals? That's a great question. And I bet a bunch of you on the call today could probably answer that. I know there's a lot of online, meetup.com, that kind of thing, where you can go and look up, Eventbrite. So meetup.com, eventbrite.com. These are two sites that are allowing people to create events and publicize them so that you can go find things in your area by zip code. And it's amazing what you can find on sites like that. But I'm also going to tell you to go to your local chamber of commerce, go to your local business association, because they are usually putting together as part of their services to their members, lists of events that are going on in the area. And you can get a great list that way as well. They'll usually have a calendar. The other thing, and though they're not as current, but you will see it, is a lot of digital newspapers, since most of our newspapers are dying in the print version, but the digital ones usually have some pretty decent calendars as well. Most regions, most well-established, you know, cities and regional areas will have a decent chamber of commerce or some kind of business association for the businesses in the area. And they'll have some kind of business section or business magazine digitally online. I mean, and if you're even in a small state, I mean, in the great state of New Hampshire here, we have a Business New Hampshire. It's an entire magazine devoted to that. Things like that are always going to have those lists, as well as our number one newspaper here, the Union Leader. They've got a list of things, but so do all of our local papers. So check out your papers, check out your business associations. They're going to give you that local feel. And then, of course, go check out Meetup, go check out Eventbrite and any of the others like that. And you should be able to start to rustle up some really good things. Don't forget to check your industry. For example, I'm in HR, so we always have a chapter of an HR organization out here. They'll have events. You just need to hone in. And once you find two or three good places to access those, you'll have more than enough events to go to. Okay, one thing I want to tell you about events, folks, especially if you're thinking about going to a job fair or some sort of business networking event, they're usually pretty good, doesn't always happen, but pretty good about telling you who's going to be there. Sometimes you can get online and see what companies have registered. Very important that you do that, because if you're really nervous about networking, then there's nothing worse than going to an event and not knowing who you want to talk to. Now, the easiest way to solve that is to do some advanced research. Let's say there's 20 companies that claim they're going. Research the 20 companies, find five that are the most interesting to you out of the 20. Pick the five. Do your homework on them. Find out what intrigues you about them. Why are you excited about them? How do you feel related to them? And then when you get to the event, go seek them out. And what you want to say to the person is, it's really nice to meet you. You know, I did my homework before coming to this event. I saw there were umpteen companies, but you were one of the only five that I really wanted to find and meet. I really wanted to learn more about this. I'm so intrigued. Think about how that presents you. It shows you've done your homework, that you came to the event with a purpose, and lo and behold, you came to meet them because you respect them and you're impressed with certain aspects, which you've researched. Think about how good they feel when you walk up and say that. You think that conversation's going to go well? You betcha. It's going to go great because they're going to be loving the fact that you came there with intent to meet them. And that's going to put you at ease. And what are you going to get to do? Ask a lot of questions and sit back and listen. So that's a wonderful strategy to have anytime you know about an event in advance and you can find out what companies are attending. Plus, you can get into the event and you can ask the event host, you know, I'm really trying to meet somebody from XYZ company. Do you see anybody in the room that's from there? Oh, yeah. See Bill Jones over there? Bill Jones is with XYZ company. I think he's the account manager. Great. What's your name? Mary. Okay. Walk over. Hey, Bill. My name's JT. Mary over there, I told her I was looking to meet somebody from XYZ Corp, and she told me that you're one of the account managers. It's really nice to meet you. See how easy it is? Little research, little strategy. We can do this, folks. We can do this. Okay. Can you comment on networking in women's groups and mixed groups? Sure, absolutely. So, okay. I'm a female, so I'm allowed to say this. I think female networking groups can be challenging if you're not comfortable. I think women can feel intimidated by other women. I think that's totally normal. It happens. It is what it is, okay? So there's a little secret weapon that you can use at events like that. And that is to be highly interested in what the other women are doing. They're there for that reason. Again, here, it's not rocket science. I wish I could give you something new, interesting, different to do at an event based on women, but it's no different. They're all there for the same reason, to network and connect. All you need to do is go up and be interested. Ask great questions. Listen. Ask great follow-up questions. That is what's going to create those relationships for you and put women at ease. What I do notice is that women can sometimes tend to judge, and if a particular female is monopolizing a conversation, they feel very uncomfortable by that. So you should not be uncomfortable by that. You should be relieved. If somebody's monopolizing the conversation, fantastic. Smile, listen, ask more questions, be the good listener, and then say, hey, would love to exchange business cards with you and catch up. I'd love to stay in touch and exchange articles from time to time on this subject. I think it's really interesting. Do it. remember that some people go to these events and talk nonstop out of fear and nerves. Other people go to these events and don't talk at all out of fear and nerves. Everyone there is a little nervous. I mean, even if you're confident and comfortable networking, you still care about what other people think. You do. And you still leave the event thinking there's something you could have done different, better. Nobody's perfect. So go to these events and be compassionate and understanding that what you're seeing is just that person doing the best they can in the network environment. Ask great questions, connect, grab their business card, and start an offline relationship. I'll tell you something interesting. I've seen some women who maybe are a bit aggressive or domineering in networking and people are turned off by it. And they feel like, oh gosh, they're so intense. But one-on-one, they're absolutely amazing. They're wonderful, phenomenal women. And it's just because of the way. And at this point, I can revert back and say it's not just females. I've seen guys like that too, very overpowering, commanding, and people are turned off by it in the interview or in the networking event. But it's really that person just loves to be helpful and loves to be out there and to support people. And it's a shame when we miss out on connecting with those individuals in the same way that it's a shame when we miss out on connecting with more quiet individuals. Everyone comes to a networking event with strengths, with value, with gifts. To me, in my mind, I want to find out what each one has to offer. I'm not going to judge them based on how talkative or not talkative they are. I'm going to get curious, ask a lot of questions, and think about what they do and how they do it. And store that away and remember, because later on, there might be a chance for me to work with them. There might be a chance for me to put them together with somebody else. I'm just going to use all that data. And if you go into events with that mindset, not judging people for how they, you know, come across, but more about the substance of who they are and what they do, you're going to find a lot more success in these events. Does that make sense to everybody? Yes? Okay, let's see. P. Michelle, hey there. Should we ask contacts whether it's okay with them if you follow up with them from time to time beforehand, or should you just do it? I think you just want to say, hey, I'd love to stay in touch. Is that okay if we stay in touch? I'll send you an article every once in a while. I love to share articles from time to time with people. Would you want to connect? And that's all you need to say. You can absolutely share that. But as long as you're not emailing them every other day, and you're sending something once every few weeks or so, that's not going to be intimidating, especially when you're adding value by sending something. So you don't necessarily need to tell them that, but you may want to as a way to validate why you want to connect with them. And then you can just say, hey, you know what? I love to connect with people in LinkedIn, especially when I come across an article or something that I want to pass along and I can share it with you. Would you want to connect? Boom, let's exchange cards. Super, I'll send you out an invite in the next week. That's all it is. And then take control. But it's totally up to you. You don't have to. Okay. I just networked with an employee from a company. He said to send him my resume and he would forward it to the right person. Okay. So let's see. Whenever you network with somebody and they say they want to send it to the right person, here's what you want to do. You want to try to take control of that to some degree. Because they could forward it or they could not forward it and you might not never know. So what I would say is I would follow up with the individual and say, thank you so much for your willingness to share my resume. I hate the idea of you being burdened with that. If you want, I'm happy if you're willing to give me the email address of that individual. I'm happy to email them and CC you on it as well, introducing myself. If you'd like, would that be easier so that you don't have to do all the coordinating? And the reason you ask that is because what are they going to do? They're going to come back and say, no, why don't I CC you on my email to them? Because you want to know who the person is and you want to know that it got sent. So the best way to do that is to take a little ownership here. Let me rephrase that. Let me say it again. Thank you so much for your willingness to submit my resume to the hiring manager. I can't thank you enough. I was thinking, all that burden shouldn't fall on you. Would it be easier if you gave me their email address and I emailed them and CC'd you so they know where I got the email address and forwarded it along myself? I'm happy to do that. What would be easier for you? And then they're going to come back to you and say, no, I'll absolutely email them and I'll CC you on that email so that you know, that sort of thing. And that's how you'll be able to take control. Now, if they don't offer to CC you on it, there's not anything you can do. You can say, thank you so much. And when you do send it to them, you should say, thank you for forwarding it. what do you, is the best way for me to follow up? Should I circle back with you in a week or so? Or do you think I should circle, you know, back with that person in a week? What would you advise me to do? Once again, that way you're going to be able to hold them accountable for making sure that they forwarded it. And they're going to expect the fact that you're going to want to circle back with them and find out the status update of the resume. So just always think of it from the proactive standpoint. How can I take the workload off of this wonderfully kind person who's willing to help me out? And articulate that in your emails that way. But what that's also doing is setting up that expectation and that accountability with that person so you can get your follow through, because it's very important. All right. If you curate content for another, but they aren't responding, do you still continue after 3 months? No, I wouldn't send something every month. I'd drop it off for a while, and maybe I'd check back and I'd drop off for, say, 3 months and then circle back and reach out. It can happen. I mean, if you've sent something 3 months in a row and you're not getting any response, I would take them off your list for now. But, you know, take a hiatus for 3 months, maybe four, and then circle back when you find something really relevant and send it their way. But usually that doesn't happen. Usually if you're sending some dialogue, eventually by the third time they respond to you. And if they don't, I just should also answer, don't take it personally, folks. Some people, especially if you are networking with people that are highly networked, their inbox is inundated. In fact, I find myself apologizing all the time. I mean, I can't physically handle everything that's in my inbox. And there are some people that I don't get to right away, or they'll send me something and it's interesting, but it doesn't necessarily merit a response. I don't need to send something back. And then I'll get an email from them saying, are you angry with me? And then I feel really bad. So try to remember that people are super busy. And if you're just sending content, they may not view it as needing a response. Maybe by your third time, like I suggested earlier, you ask a question with it as a way to see if they're even responding. But just remember, people are super busy. And what you're just trying to do is add value. You're trying to send them something that might be helpful. Sort of like a newsletter. Do you know why companies send newsletters? They send newsletters to give you advice and be helpful, but they also do it for top of mind awareness. So if you're getting a newsletter every week or every month and all of a sudden you have a need for something, that repetitiveness is going to remind you to contact them. That's exactly what you're doing here. If you're always staying in contact and providing some value, you're branding yourself. You're branding your business of one. So don't be worried if they don't necessarily contact you back. Okay. Okay. How do you find someone's email address for a company that is not public? Ooh, now you want me to just get sneaky, huh? LG, what's up with the sneaky question? Okay, so there's actually a lot you can do. For starters, set up a Google alert on this person. See if you can't start getting any information that comes up. Do some research online. And what you should look for is you should look for at least 2 or 3 email addresses of people who do work there. So go to LinkedIn for starters and find all the people that work there. Do a search on the company name. What you're going to find is if there's 20, 30, 40, 50 profiles there, if you go through each one pretty quickly, at least 3 or 4 of the people there will probably have their email address right in their summary because they want people to contact them. And if they have their company's email address, you're going to see how they are creating the emails. Maybe it's first name dot last name or first initial last name or first name only or whatever. And if you find enough of these, you're going to see that and you're going to know how this person's email is probably created. And my first suggestion would be to literally try that. Say, okay, I'm looking to find Adam Jones. Well, I find 10 people at the company and they all have their name, dot, and their last name. So I'm going to just try to send an email to Adam.Jones and send that great, interesting email off to them. Worst case, it bounces back and it never gets to them. That's the worst case scenario. You've got nothing to lose. So that would be my first suggestion. My second suggestion would be to, of those people that you see and find through the network, pick 5 at that company that have really interesting profiles and request to connect with them and say, we've never met. It's very important that you do that, folks, in LinkedIn, because you don't want anybody hitting the spam button. So customize the request and say, we've never met, but your profile came up when I was researching your company. I'd love to connect with you. And if you do that, you're probably going to get out of the 5, maybe 1, 2, 3 people to connect. Then you'd say, thank you for connecting, send the thank you. Wanted to learn more about who you are and what you do. You know, this is my background. And start that connection. Tell me about yourself. You know, get a little email dialogue going. From there, you're eventually going to be able to say, you know, I've been trying to find so-and-so's profile. I've been trying to reach out and connect with so-and-so at your company. Would you have any suggestions on how I might do that? So you don't say, would you introduce me? You just say, would you have any suggestions how I might be able to get in touch with that person? And that will lead you eventually to that person as well. Okay, but try the email thing first. You'd be amazed at how many people's emails you can figure out. Okay. Oh, and I see people are putting up examples too. Thank you for that. All right. Whew. I'm going to come up for air and say we have 6 minutes left. I don't know where an hour has gone. Today we have been talking about networking, introduction, conversation starters, getting over your anxiety and fear about this, and really finding your ways. This has been great. We've gotten questions about worst case situations all the way through to business cards. If I missed a question, I'm sorry. Just put it in there again for me. I still have got time to answer it for you, and I want to answer it for you. Sometimes it just goes so fast. There's so many of you on here. But I do want to answer that. And don't be shy. Ask your question because you know what? You do need to remove the anxiety and the roadblocks to move forward. And you have to network, folks. There's no getting around it. I don't know a single business that can stay in business without having to market itself. It has to network. It has to connect with its consumers, its customers. There isn't a single business out there that can exist without that. Okay? It has to. You are a business of one, which means you have to too. So we don't have to do it 24/7, thank goodness, but we do need to be strategic about it and we do need to build up our skills. And it's not rocket science. You can do it. You can find your way to network effectively, but it starts with addressing these concerns and finding your strategy and your way of doing it, you know, and coming here and even hearing verbiage, even hearing me phrase how you might present yourself. Maybe that's what you need. Whatever the case, you just need to stay on it because you will get better at networking if you do. Okay. Very good. All right. Woo. Well, then I'm going to have a little tea here and see if we have any additional questions. And I'm glad it's helping. Thank you, Lisa. I'm glad you're enjoying it today. We are going to be focusing each and every week on a new topic. You all know that. We're going to have that up soon so you can see the topics in advance going forward. While I'm waiting for a few final questions here, I'll tell you about that. I also want to tell you about a very exciting show that we're going to be launching in the next week or two called LinkedIn Labs. Every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, we are going to be doing a 30-minute show all about LinkedIn. How crazy is that? We're going to be talking about features, tricks, tips. We're going to be doing profile makeovers, showing you before and afters, anything and everything related to LinkedIn because it is a very important tool in our careers right now, and we're just scratching the surface of its power. In the same way that we watched Facebook and how it became a novelty to a mainstream item, we're in this part of LinkedIn right now. We're right about here. We're skyrocketing upwards. And we know that you need that information. So very excited to be launching that show on Mondays. I'm not sure if it'll be next week or the week after, but you will see information on that if you're on our subscriber list, okay? And feel free, as always, to send us questions at support@careerism.com, right? You can send us at our customer_service. It doesn't matter. Email us and we will try to do our best to incorporate them into our shows because we know you need this information. Okay, a couple more questions here. How formal is the dress code at most networking events? You know, I find that most networking events are business casual these days, unless they expressly state that it's business professional, it's high-end attire. You're usually going business casual, you know, pants and a jacket, you know, shirt, maybe no tie, something like that for the men. Not overly done. You never want to go casual, though. You always want to look kind of cleaned up and pulled together in the business casual. So no flip-flops, ladies, right? We don't go flip-flops, no shorts. Unless it's, okay, there's exceptions to every rule right now. So unless you're in the tech world, in which case it's cool to dress down. But for most of the traditional business events, you're usually doing business casual or a little bit beyond. That's the MO these days. How can you engage someone who is not active on LinkedIn? Oh, you know, I get this question all this time. I was joking with someone. You're going to laugh, everyone. I was telling somebody that you should send them an anonymous note. You should send them an anonymous snail mail that says, there are a lot of people looking for you online. Post yourself on LinkedIn and make people happy. You have to admit, it would get somebody's attention. But in all seriousness, now that joking aside, you very well could send somebody a letter and say, you are receiving this letter because I would very much love to connect with you online, but I can't find you. So here's my business card. Would love to, you know, connect with you on LinkedIn or exchange emails with you. Very interested in the work that you do. There's nothing wrong with disrupting the process and going with the handwritten note or, you know, a typed up letter in very nice paper. It's so unexpected today to get mail, isn't it? That, especially that kind of mail. So honestly, if somebody is not engaging online, go to the snail mail, make it original, send them something, get their attention, and that will do it. I will tell you that right now. In fact, it's funny. One of my career HMO members, he just emailed his resume and cover letter, his killer cover letter, off. If you didn't see last week's sessions on cover letters, you better go back and watch that, disruptive cover letters. And he got a call even after he applied online and didn't hear from them online. And it's because he just sent it to the CEO through snail mail. So it can work for you. You never know, especially for people who are not digitally savvy. What is the best way to ask for an informational interview with someone you met at a networking event or conference? Thank you for your, okay. So that's really easy. First thing that you want to do is if you meet somebody at a networking event, send them an article first. Don't rush into the request for the informational interview, okay? Because it's just a little too aggressive. It's like meeting somebody for 5 minutes and saying, hey, I've known you for 5 minutes. Want to go on a date? Little too soon. Little too soon. So let's pull it back. Let's send them an article and say, it was so nice to meet you. Saw this article, thought of you. What do you think? Let them respond. Ask them a question. Then whatever they respond with is going to be insightful. And you're going to be able to say, you know, that makes so much sense. I know that we've only just met, but based on that, I would love to pick your brain a little bit more. Is there a chance I could get on your calendar in the next month and ask you a few questions about your work? I mean, because that answer alone proves to me that you've got some amazing insights and I'd just love to learn more. So you see how we do that? We send them an article and ask them a question about the article. Based on their response and the advice and the insight they give you, that's going to validate the fact that they're a great, credible expert that's going to lead to you saying, for that very reason, for that response, I would love to learn more from you. Can I get on your calendar in the next month? What works for you? And it's a very natural way to move that process forward. Okay. All right, my friends. Well, I cannot believe where an hour has gone. I am so excited that you all came here today. Was it helpful? Let me get a little show of hands on the internet here. Can we all see that we can do this? I know networking is your least favorite thing to do, but you know you need to do it. And you don't have to be perfect at it. And you don't have to be this slick person. But you do need to get over your fear and all these kind of silly assumptions you have about connecting with others. And it's never going to go 100% perfect, but the more that you do it, the easier it gets. The more networking experiences you have, the more you have to work off of as a point of reference. You will get better at it. But if you go once and you crash and burn and you don't go for another year, that's not skill building. That's not helping you. You got to pick yourself up, learn from the experience, apply what you learned to the next networking experience. And I mean it. If you commit to that and say, I want to be better within a year, you will be. But you got to keep at it. You got to keep coming to sessions like this and getting help and getting out there and trying, okay? And you can do this, folks. You know, your business of one depends on it. We can't ignore it anymore. All right. Super. Then I will see all of you next week, yes? And if not, I will see you on demand because we record these sessions or on podcasts because we now have them on iTunes. So you will get all that recording information. You know that we're always here for you. I wish you all the best. Have a great, productive week in your career, and I'll see you back here soon, okay? All right, everyone. Take care.